for the pain, suffering and hurt of these stolen generations, their descendants and for their families left behind, we say sorry. To the mothers and the fathers, the brothers and the sisters, for the breaking up of families and communities, we say sorry.
When then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd delivered the national apology to the stolen generations, it was one of the defining moments in modern Australian history. And it was one 79-year-old Auntie Lorraine Peters says she waited almost a lifetime for.
Oh, look, we were so excited. We were out of our skin. We couldn't wait. I mean, we gathered in Canberra from stolen generations from all over the country, assembled there. And it was a day that I'll never, ever forget in my life because we were being acknowledged as a group of people, you know.
Miss Peters was just 4 years old when she was taken from her family and placed in an institution. She's one of thousands who make up the Stolen Generations, Indigenous Australians who have endured immense suffering due to past government policies of forced child removal and assimilation. But 10 years ago, they finally heard the word sorry. Today, Kevin Rudd maintains it was the right thing to do.
We couldn't get to the business of closing the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians until you'd actually had the guts on the behalf of white Australia to say sorry for the appalling treatment over a couple of hundred years.
The apology defied years of resistance from the previous coalition government led by John Howard, but it was a commitment the Labor Party had made ahead of its victory in the 2007 election. Mr Rudd concedes there was resistance within his party.
We believe in something called social justice, the Conservatives don't. For me, though, within the Australian Labor Party, of course, there are a bunch of people who have a conservative view of Indigenous policy as well. And I remember being cautioned by some of the right-wing bother boys of the Australian Labor Party after I'd become Prime Minister, saying, whoa, I don't know if you should be doing this first up, the apology, that is. And I said, we committed to doing it. I intend to honour my word. And because it's so symbolically significant, we should make it the first act of the Parliament.
The apology took place at 9 a.m. as the first action of the first full sitting day of the 42nd Parliament of Australia. Across the country, crowds gathered in schools, community halls and on Parliament lawns to witness the historic event.
Let's grasp this opportunity to craft a new future for this great land, Australia. Mr Speaker, I commend the motion to the House.
Yeah. Tears, cheers and a long, thunderous round of applause erupted when the speech ended. Steve Hodderwatt from Mornington Island in northwest Queensland has worked in Indigenous media and publishing for over 20 years. He travelled to Canberra for the event and was deeply affected.
It was mixed emotions, seeing the survivors. You could feel, you got that sense of how much more it meant to them than just a symbolic gesture.
The lead singer of the Australian band Midnight Oil, former politician and Indigenous activist Peter Garrett, says there is no doubt the apology was a momentous gesture. He remembers the atmosphere as electric and says he believes that feeling was not limited to people inside the chamber, nor to Indigenous Australians.
To actually be able to put hand on heart and say sorry was something that I think most Australians felt was very important and a very necessary and, if you like, a thing of the spirit that needed to happen. It was moving. Yes, it was symbolic, but it was important symbolism. And I think that many Australians watching would have understood that and supported it at the time.
Then they took the children away, took the children away. The children away.
The Indigenous singer-songwriter Archie Roach won an International Human Rights Award for his song Took the Children Away. Written in 1990, almost 20 years before the national apology, it is based on his own experience as a child of the stolen generations. He says the word sorry carried tremendous weight.
My folks, my mum and dad, aren't alive today, and they weren't there to hear those words. But I was, as their child, one of their children. So I sort of accepted that apology on their behalf. We just needed an apology. Someone to just say, listen, we're sorry. that this happened. We're sorry that this took place. And it's not laying the blame at anybody's feet. It's just expressing sorrow for something that happened.
The national apology came as a recommendation from the Bringing Them Home report, tabled in Parliament in 1997. It was just one of 54 recommendations, which also included monetary compensation, guarantees against repetition, and restitution and rehabilitation. The Healing Foundation was set up in 2009 to address the latter part. Chief Executive Richard Weston says since its inception, the organisation has been working to heal ongoing trauma stemming from the stolen generations.
Through our work, we've supported and partnered with communities on 170 projects that have helped around 45,000 people, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, to get on their journeys towards healing.
But some, like Steve Hodder-Watt, says progress in other areas is dwindling.
We still see deaths in custody, incarceration rates, the health outcomes. It doesn't seem to be getting much better.
The Closing the Gap strategy drawn up after the apology was a bipartisan commitment by the federal government to improve the plight of Indigenous people in Australia. Last week's review of the campaign highlighted the lack of progress over the past decade towards achieving life expectancy equality for Indigenous people in Australia. Last year, the United Nations described Australia's lack of improvement in closing the gap as woefully inadequate. Archie Roach says while the apology was a pivotal gesture, it is yet to be followed by action.
Words aren't any good unless it's backed up by deed or action. But the apology in itself, it was a great relief for a lot of people, myself included. But we need to actually do something and go forward and do something together and try to heal that rift. It's still quite big.
On the day of the apology, Auntie Lorraine Peters presented Kevin Rudd with a glass kulamon, a traditional vessel for carrying children.
It's a token to represent everybody. Let's hope that we could move forward from the apology. But that was 10 years ago now, and we're still hoping, though.
She concedes it's unlikely she'll witness any momentous change in her lifetime, but says she's keeping the hope alive for the sake of her grandchildren.
For me to continue that fight, of hope for my children and my grandchildren. So the fight is still there for us to continue to do and hope for change in this country.